Right. This is the Indian of Minhagim. Where are the Minhagim come from and why there is Minhagim? If we have a halacha, there is a Shulchan Aruch, there is Rambam, Gemara, the Al-Mishnayot, and we understand where the halacha is. But where is the Minhag plays into this? There is a custom. Where the custom comes from, and how the minhag becomes such an important role in the life of Jewish people. But I want to talk about three or four different inyanim that has to do with the minhagim. First of all, why there is minhagim? Why do we have minhagim? We have halacha, you do follow the halachot, and everything is going to be fine. Why there is minhagim? And if we have halachot, there is no reason to be minhagim. Number two, is one allowed to cancel a minhag? Let's say there is established minhag somewhere. Now we don't know, it comes a time and you don't need it anymore and you want to cancel it. Can you cancel a minhag? And how one knows, is the minhagim good minhagim or is minhag shtut? Or just was it made up, minhag somehow was made up. And what about minhag avot? What about if somebody has a minhag that was handed down from our fathers, or let's say you go to a city and the city has a minhag, do you have to follow those minhagim, or you don't have to do that? Where, how is all this plays in, and where we as Jewish people, we have an obligation to follow this. First of all, why there is minhagim? there is minhagim. Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Losato, explains. It's very simple. It's very very interesting the way he explains it. He says that you have by keeping the halacha, you are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Irat Shamayim. You have a fear of God, you are connected to Hashem from the fear point of view. When you start keeping Minhagim, that's Ahavat Hashem. That's the love of Hashem that you are connected. There are two ways. There are two ways that you could worship, you could have Avodat Hashem. You could have Avodat Hashem from the way of Ira, from fear, and another way that you could be connected to Hashem from having love of Hashem. So how is that minhag becomes Ahavat Hashem? So when the reason the minhagim were established was because Klal Israel, through the generation, through the history, they weren't sure if are they doing exactly what they are supposed to be doing, because they wanted to make sure that the halacha was kept properly. Therefore, the minhagim played in. Until that point, everybody thought that now I'm keeping a halacha. But how do I know the halacha that I'm keeping is 100%? They said, you know what? In order to be sure that I'm doing the right thing, let's go outside. Let's put a fence around that halacha. And that fence became a minhag. It's not part of the halacha. But in order to make sure the halacha was done properly, therefore the minhag came in. As the Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato says, it's like if somebody wants to draw a picture. When you're drawing a picture, you want to make sure a good painter, makes sure that every part of the picture is exactly, even one nekuda. One doubt is not in the wrong place. That's what a good sayyar does, a good painter does. And therefore he says, when you are, the picture of halacha is the same thing. When you are following the halacha, you want to make sure the halacha is 100%. How are you going to make sure? You put the dots, you put the lines in the right place, and that's what minhagim are. The minhagim are the protection of halacha. The minhagim came about Because the Klal Yisrael wanted to make sure that they are doing the halacha the way it was supposed to be done. The minhagim came that we as Jews, we weren't sure. We went through the galut. We weren't sure the halacha was exactly what they told us. Therefore, because we wanted to make sure that we're doing the right thing, we came out with this minhagim. Now, there are two different types of minhagim. There is a minhag that it was a halacha, it was forgotten, then it came back in a way of a minhag. And another thing was that it wasn't a halacha bichla. It wasn't, that became a minhag in order to protect the halacha. So what's the example before that? There's a very interesting Gemara, Masechet Pesachim. The Gemara says, Hillel, when he became a Nasi, right? Nasi is somebody that knows everything. They're asking questions, whatever, she'elot, safekot, doubts they have in halacha, they ask the Nasi, and the Nasi tells them. In the time of Hillel, we still had Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was that even on Shabbat, they brought Korban Pesach. If Erev Pesach falls and on Shabbat, they even brought Korban Pesach on Shabbat. Now, they went to Hillel HaZaken and they asked him that if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbat, which we have to bring Korban Pesach, what about if somebody forgot to bring the knife from Erev Shabbat? Because the only thing you can do is to shech, but you are not allowed to carry outside to bring the knife. And they ask Hillel, what should we do? What's the halacha? So Hillel says, Lamati, shamati v'shachachti. I heard this halacha, but I forgot. I don't know what the halacha is. And then he says, what should we do? So the Gemara says, Anach lahem leis Israel, that im enam nevi'im b'nei nevi'im hem. So let the Jews decide. Let the Klal Israel decide if they know what to do. They waited next day, next morning, Shabbat morning. They saw that anybody wanted to bring a Korban Pesach, somebody had a seh, had a goat, or a sheep, anything they had, they saw that they had the knives sticking in between the holes and they brought it in. And that's the way they carried the knife to bring it in, to Bet HaMikdash, to Korban Pesach. As Hillel said, you see, they had a mesorah, how to do it. They had a minhag, how to bring the knife to the Bet HaMikdash. Even though I forgot what the halacha was, but Klal Israel didn't forget. They had a mesorah. They knew how to bring the knife from Dorei Dorot, from generations and back. They had a mesorah, they had a minhag, how the knife should be carried on Erev Pesach, the falls on Shabbat. And you see from here that there is another type of a minhag, that if the minhag is a halacha, but the halacha was forgotten. But Klal Israel, they never forgot about this halacha, but they accepted upon themselves as a minhag. And therefore, as a minhag, carried on to the next generation. Not as a halacha, but as a minhag, but really was a halacha. There is another type of minhag, which is not a minhag. The Chachamim made it to a minhag. What is the example for that? Chavatat Arava. Now, and Shemini Atzeret, we have to take Aravot and we banged it on the floor. Right? The Rambam says this is a minhag nevi'im. The prophets made this minhag. That therefore he says it is one of the things that really was not the halacha, is not part of the halacha, but it is a minhag that Klal Yisrael nevi'im established this minhag. So Rambam says something else very interesting. Rambam says that he said if somebody wants to get married, a woman that wants to get married, she has to wait 7 days before she gets married. And there was, if somebody, a man, a boy, goes to a girl, says, would you marry me? If they want to get married, they can't just get married tomorrow. They have to wait 7 days. That's the minhag. I said, where does this minhag come from? It's not the halacha, it's minhag. And Rambam says, is a chumra yetera shein higu ba benot Israel. The benot, the women of Klal Israel, they accepted upon themselves to noheg like that, right? And the Rambam says, ve'en lasur mimena le'olam, and nobody should cancel this minhag, right? And now, how is that came to play? So Rambam, according to Rambam, is mashma that benot Israel, the women, this was not part of the halacha. Benot Israel, the women, said, you know what? In order to make sure that we are going to marry, we are proper, they in higu kacha. The minhag became like that, and chachamim agreed with them. It was not a halacha, it was something that the North Israel, that women, they started from scratch. The foundation wasn't even there. They came up with this minhag. Why did they come up with this minhag? Because they felt in order for the kalla, for the bride, that she's a tehora, they needed to do this. But Chachamim agreed with them and said, you know what? When you come up, the reasons behind it is more than it's kedai to do it. Another thing that is mashma from the Rambam, that is not exactly the way that I said was, maybe Chachamim also they did it, but they did it in private. It was not mefursam. It was not publicized. And Benot Israel, the women, they made it publicized and they told everybody that they should give it. Therefore, you see that another type, there's a different type of a minhag. The different type is that there is something that was hidden, the people, they kept it in private, all of a sudden, they made it publicized that everybody should know about that. Now, the Rashba says that if there is a minhag that Klal Israel are keeping it, is asur for anybody not to do it. Right? And it says that a lot of gezerot, v'takanot, that we as Klal Israel have, even though that you don't know where it come from, you have to treat it like Beddin HaGadol, like the highest Beddin of Klal Israel established it, and you have to treat it as mamash alacha. That's what the Rashba says. Now, I want to give you a few examples that where this alachot, what I said, are three things I said. One, that there are minhagim that Klal Yisrael established because they wanted to make sure the alacha stays in a place. Another thing Ramchal said, that the reason there are minhagim, because there is ahavat Hashem, there's certain ahava, certain love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, because they wanted to make sure the halacha is 100%, because of their love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they came up with this minhag. Now, there's a Gemara Masechet Berachot. The Gemara says, "En mitalelin ela mitoch kovet rosh besimcha shel misra." That's a halacha, it's a Mishnah. The Gemara says that you cannot daven if you are upset, you are not happy. You have to be happy. You have to have simcha shel misra in order to daven. Now, how are we going to make sure that you are going to perpetuate this Gemara? How are we going to know that when we get up in the morning to daven, you're doing it mitoch simcha shel misra? The Tosfot, there in that Gemara, says, לכן נהגו לומר פסוקי דזמרה ואשרי קודם תפילה. That's what the פסוקי דזמרה come from. Why do you need פסוקי דזמרה? Because פסוקי דזמרה is to make a people happy. But the reason they made the פסוקי דזמרה, that because they wanted to make sure that this הלכה, שמחה של מצווה, הם מתפללים למתוך שמחה של מצווה, because they wanted that to happen, פסוקי דזמרה come about. What's the Pesukei Zimbra? You give Shevach Voda, you give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about Simcha, all happiness, about joy. That's what the Pesukei Zimbra come from. So another Gemara, Masechet Ta'anit, the Gemara said that Ta'anit and Ta'anit Tzibur, people go to Bet HaKevarot, they go to cemetery. But the Tosfot there says, he said, Mikan Nohagim, בכל מקום ללך לבית הקברות בתשעה באב. So that's why in תשעה באב, people, they went to Bet HaKavarot. And this Ad Hayom is a minhag. The Gemara doesn't say that. Now, why B'davka Tisha B'Av? Why not any other fasts? Because the only fast that it was mamash a fast, Ta'anit Tzibur, that everybody was mechuyab to fast, was Tisha B'Av. And you were allowed to go to Bet HaKavarot. Yom Kippur is also fast day, but you cannot go. The other fasts is much easier fast, and some people might fast, some people might not fast. Tisha B'Av, everybody fasted. And therefore Tosfot says, this is the halacha, by the way, when you look at Shulchan Aruch, only Shulchan Aruch brings the Gabbai Tisha B'Av. Only Tisha B'Av, it says that people had minhag to go to Bet HaKavarot, not any other fast. But that's the Tosfot says, this Gemara said the Ta'anit Tzibur, people want Bet HaKavarot. And how we gonna, which Ta'anit Tzibur? The minhag became, and on Tisha B'Av, everybody went. Now, there are certain minhagim that again, people, the Bnei, the Klal Israel established it because they wanted to mitrachek min achet. They wanted to stay away from doing a wrong thing. For instance, we know that according to halacha, basar, off, and gemina, chicken and cheese, you are allowed to have together min haTorah. Min haTorah you are allowed to have. But midarabanan, you don't have to. By midarabanan, the answer midarab is mutar. Midarabanan is asur to do it. But what about if you want to have cheese and off, right? You have cheese and basar off. The chachamim they said that midarabanan is asur to have it together, right after each other. What about if you have chicken, then you want to have off, but so, if you have chicken, then you want to have gevina, cheese. Do you have to wait 6 hours? The whole thing is midoraita, only the gabe basar. From the Torah is asur, only if you have meat, then you have to wait 6 hours in order to have cheese. But basar of chicken and cheese already is midarabanan. Why do you have to wait 6 hours? Just don't eat it together. But chachamim, because they wanted to make sure people are not going to have it, they are not going to have meat and cheese together, they made a minhag. It's a minhag that nobody is allowed to have cheese and basar off also after 6 hours. That's because the Kladze wanted to make sure people are going to keep that minhag, that halakha, they made the minhag of not having chicken and cheese also, they have to wait 6 hours. Now, there is another minhag that the Gemara, Masechet Menachot, the Gemara says that when the Shalach Sibur goes up, if somebody goes up to Torah to read the Torah, only Shalach Sibur reads the Torah. They don't let everybody else to read it. That's a minhag. That's what the Gemara says. Where does that come from? Why did they make sense? What about somebody wants to read it? It used to be that nobody read, only the Shalach Sibur read. The Gemara says, Shelo levayesh mi shelo yodeya. They didn't want to embarrass somebody that they didn't know. They said only the Shalach Sibur should read. You see, the minhag also became, they thought about everything. They established the minhag that that nobody should get embarrassed because of that. Now, there are certain minhagim also that the source of it is from the Gemara and Talmidei Chachamim, and there are minhagim that was established by people. There are minhagim that established by Talmidei Chachamim also. Now, there is another type of a minhag that was established. We said already 2 or 3 ideas about where the minhagim come from. There is another minhag that it became a minhag for a different reason. And the reason is k'machriya b'machloket. And as if there is a machloket in the Gemara, they didn't know which way to go. There was an argument in the Gemara. There are 2 people, each one says something else. They didn't know which one is the halakha. They came out, they made a minhag, they decided, Klal Israel decided, that this is what we're going to do. Lemashal, what's the example for that? The Gemara, the Mishnah, Masechet Berachot, Mishnah says that what beracha do you make on water? We know that we make shakol. But when we look at the Mishnah says, Yesh omrim shakol, yesh omrim bore nefashot. Beracha rishona, the first beracha. Even the first beracha, the Mishnah says, that you should make bore nefashot. Right? And the Gemara says, Gemara asks, Hilchetan mai, what's the halacha? And the Gemara says, very interesting, this line is a very interesting line, which you see this is all over. Tipuk chazi mai amad avar. Go and see what people do. That's what the halacha is. And the Gemara doesn't say the halacha is say sha'akol or say borana pashot. Go out and see whatever everybody does, you do the same thing. And the Gemara says, and you could look at this two ways. You could look at it that whatever the people decided to do, that's the halacha. Another thing is that really the halacha was established. We didn't know what it is, and we found out what it is. This line could be understood in two different ways. But the Rambam says that Rambam doesn't say anything. But you see, from this Gemara, you see that it could have been. I don't know which one it is. Either the people decided the halacha is shakol, or Chachamim decided that shakol. And they let people know what the minhag is. We don't know which one it is. But it's interesting, Bet Yosef, any halacha in Shulchan Aruch, there are three amudei Hora'ah, there are Rif, Rash, and Rambam. Either two of those people that they decided one halacha, that's the halacha. But Bet Yosef, or Rabbi Yosef Karo writes, only time that I don't go according to these two, if there is a minhag. I can't go over the minhag. Halacha is like two of these three people, but if there is established minhag, I cannot change. It's been very interesting. Now, how can one cancel, do we have a right to cancel a minhag? Is there anything like canceling a minhag? Or do you have to follow the minhagim no matter what it is? In order to understand that, we have to understand what makes something a good minhag? How do you know that something is a good minhag or a bad minhag? Was it made up minhag? Somebody made it up? How do we know that? The Maharshdam, which lived in Spain, he says like this. In order to know that something is minhag, you have to know two things. One, we have to know that it was meant, the minhag was established, the kavanah that people accepted it in order to make it to a minhag, and another thing that it was established by zikne akahal, the elders of the community made this minhag. And the Rama writes that in order to know that it's a good minhag, you have to know there's a continuity with this. It's not that one time they did it and that's it. You have to know there's a track record with this minhag, and went on for dorei dorot, generation after generation. Not that somebody made a minhag, now they felt it's good to make a minhag, now they forgot about it. That's not the way it is. You have to look into it, you have to know who established this minhag, where this minhag come from, and it's been done. It's not that just in the books they wrote about this minhag and nobody knows anything about it. If you know something like that, then that's considered a good minhag, and you are not allowed to cancel that minhag. Now, what about the Chemed asks a very interesting question. What about if you have a safek that you don't know is this minhag lekula or lechumra? Sometimes there is a minhag, but it could be mekel. Sometimes a minhag, but it could be makel. But it's the Chemed says you go lekula. Every time there is a safek in the minhag, you go lekula. We see also from the Gemara that I said that if the minhag is not good and you find that the minhag is not good, you have to cancel the minhag. There's no base for them. I'll give you a few examples. The Yerushalmi Masechet Pesachim, Yerushalmi says there used to be a minhag that women did not work on Motzei Shabbat at all. After Shabbat, they went home, did not work at all. At the Yerushalmi Gemara says, Minach Shtutu. It's not a Minhag. But it says, the Gemara continues, if the women, they don't want to work on Mosei Shabbat until the end of the Tefillah, Minach Tovhu. That's a good Minhag. And there was a wait till davening, when the Ma'ariv is over, then they start working. But until then, right, they don't, they want to do anything. That's a good minhag. But if they say, minhag by us is, we don't do anything with Say Shabbat until Sunday morning, that's shtut. That's not a good minhag. There used to be a minhag that women did not sew on Motzei Shabbat. Right? Still don't. Right. Where does this minhag come from? At this, there's a Rishonim, Rabbeinu Peretz, has this halacha, the Ba'alei Tosfot, Chavi Ba'alei Tosfot, that brings this minhag, that the women didn't do this on Motzei Shabbat. So you have to find where this minhagim come from. You can't just make it up. Say, so they did this, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. There's some women, they didn't broom on Motzei Shabbat. Right? They sweep the floor on Motzei Shabbat. That's also, there is no base for that. That the arts, they have to know where the minhagim come from. There's another thing, the Rahaban, Echad Mi HaRishonim, it says, there was a minhag that women, that they were during their period, they didn't cook. So also says it's not a minhag. So it's not a good minhag. They don't have to follow this minhag. Rambam says that the women, before they kept Shiva Nakim, they waited 7 days before they kept Shiva Nakim. It says, Minhag Ta'utu. It's also wrong, bad minhag. And so there's all these things that people, they used to do it. Until today people do it, by the way. These are the things, these two things that I said, people until today, they do it, that you see from the Rishonim, that already spoke about this, and they said it's not a good minhag. But people are keep on doing it because they felt that's what it is. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that without a reason, there is no minhag. Because if they don't know where this minhag comes from, why there is a minhag like that, there is no reason behind this minhag, that's not a good minhag. There has to be a reason behind every minhag. You have to figure it out. You have to find out. A lot of minhagim, every minhag that is established, thank you. Every minhag established, there is a reason behind it. You have to look into it. You have to find it. You have to go into it and see where does it come from. Now, if there is another thing that the Masechet Sofrim, it writes that there's a famous line that says Minhag Matel Halacha. Everybody knows that. I don't know why everybody knows this halacha, this, but it's interesting. Minhag Matel Halacha. If there is a minhag could override the halacha. I says the Masechet Sofrim writes that this is only be Minhag Matikim. Only if the established minhag that everybody knows, right? But about minhag she'en lo ra'aya min ha-Torah eno ela ketoe v'shikul ha-da'at. But if there is no reason, there is no proof that this minhag has a source, that's shtuyot. There is no, don't tell me minhag mevatel halacha. It has to be a well-known minhag that everybody kept it until today. If it's not, then that's not considered a minhag. Now, what about if you don't know? Let's say there is a minhag that we don't know if this is a minhag or it's not a minhag. We don't know what it is. But Teshuvat HaGeonim says that if there is a minhag, we don't know. Not that there is no reason. We don't know what the reason is. So you have to keep that minhag. As long as it doesn't, that is not overrides halacha, it's not against halacha. If we don't know the reason, it could be there is a reason, we cannot find it, still have to worry about this minhagim, and we cannot write. I want to give you a few different ideas that's so interesting to know where, how this minhagim come from. Now, there is a minhag that people shake themselves, they move when they daven. Where does this minhag come from? I can't just stand, but when you say physics or you go calculus, don't move, don't shake yourself. You read. Where does this minhag come from? That all of a sudden, when people they want to daven, they want to say Shemoneh Esrei, they move.
Shackle.
They shackle themselves, right. Where does that come from? It's very interesting. This minhag comes from the Sefer Kuzari, writes that this minhag comes from that used to be people did not have a sidur. There's a group of people, they had a sidur. There's only one guy had a sidur. They all got together and they wanted to daven. And they had to, each one has to go like this, move themselves around in order to see what the sidur said. And this way, in order to do that, they had to shake, had to chuckle to get into the sidur. Therefore, it became a minhag that in order to read from the sidur, you have to move yourself. That's what the Sefer Kuzari says, that the shackling, moving yourself, comes from that. But there are others, they say, because of Kavanah, that you could say is not true, it's not the Kavanah, because you could have a much better Kavanah if you don't move, you don't just stand there. The Rema Mikano says that we learn all the alahot of Tefillah from Chana. Chana was the one that davened. We learn all halachot from Chana. He says, if you read the Gemara about Chana, Chana didn't chuckle, didn't move.
Not the Gemara, you mean the
Rabbi. No, but the Gemara brings all the halachot of Chana, all the halachot of Tefillah from Chana. He said, when you read the history, the story of Chana, Chana didn't move. There is no halacha of Na'anua. Gemara Mipano says, all the things that the people say about moving has nothing to do with halachot of tefillah, and he shrugs up all the reasons that people say. The pashut reason is what the Sefer Kuzari said. That's where the minhag come from. Another thing that we have, that also is a minhag, by the way, we say Kaddish. Kaddish is something that is so important to everybody. It's more important than Halachah Moshav Zinai, right? So everybody, but no, you know, if you look, learn that there's no Kaddish in the Torah, there's no Kaddish in the Gemara. The only time the Gemara talks about saying Kaddish is a Masechet Derech Ezra Rabbi Akiva. There's not even a Kaddish. There's no Halachah of Kaddish before. But how do we say Kaddish? Kaddish is said B'Lashon Aramit. We say in the Aramaic. We don't say it in Hebrew. Why did it come? Why do we say this in Aramaic? The Gemara Masechet Berachot, the Tosfot there says, because the Malachim, the angels, don't understand Lashon Aramit. And because if you would say Lashon Ivrit, the Malachim would hear us, and it would be Kitrug, right? They would say bad things about us. And because we didn't want the Malachim, the angels, to hear us, we're going to say Lashon Aramaic. But this reason is the law of Machzor Reitri upshlags that, and he said that's not the emet reason. So what's the emet reason for that? He said that the Gemara Masechet Sotah says En ha'olam mitkayem Ella Asidra de Kudushta Yeshme Rabba de Batar Agadeta. As the Gemara said, that the world stands on two things. When you say the Kedusha wallets on every morning, and when you say Hadish Yeshme Rabba after when you learn. So important. I said the Gemara, that the Tosfot Harash says the reason that we say Naramid, because that's the two things that everybody wanted to do. And the only language people in those days spoke was Aramaic. Nobody spoke the Lashon HaKodesh. Nobody knew Hebrew. The only language they knew was Aramaic. And they came to Shul to hear the Kedusha, the Kadosh Kadosh, Ual Etzion, And they hear the Agata, the Kaddish, they wanted to say that Kaddish. The only way they could have said it was Aramaic. Therefore, the Kaddish became Belashon Aramaic. Now, the question is, what about now? Today, we could change it. Nobody talks Aramaic. Nobody has anything to do with Aramaic. Why don't we say Kaddish Belashon HaKodesh? Why can't we just change it already? The problem is that there's two reasons. Either the reason of Tosfot that I said at the beginning, or that if the remeta reason is this what I said, then they could change it to Lashon HaKodesh. But if the reason is that it has to do with Malachim, has nothing there, even today you cannot change it. And therefore the Minhag became, the Klal Yisrael decided. You have to understand, is what the Jews decided. It's not that people, that Chachmei Gemara, they didn't decide that. Jews, Klal Yisrael decided that we are not going to change Kaddish to any other language. Why did they decide? Because they felt that according to another reason is Alpi Kabbalah, there should be Aramaic. But forget about that for a minute. But based on the Gemara, because there is a Machloket, the Tosfot's reason could be the right reason. As I said in the beginning, the reason for Minhagim are they wanted to protect themselves that they're doing the right thing. Why should they change it? Therefore, they stayed with Aramaic and they didn't change it. Another thing that we have, the Minhag is by Klal Yisrael, you put salt on the table. Where does that come from?
Friday night to
me. What? Salt.
On Friday night to
talk. No, every day, every time you want to have a sauda, you put salt at the table. And you dip your bread inside the salt. When you come out, see, dip. And the Gemara says, "En abotzeya rashay lipsoa, ad shavi melach ol liptan lifnei kol echad ve'echad." The Gemara says, Nusachet Berachot, that the person that eats bread is not allowed to eat the bread until you have salt at the table. Rabbi Bar Shmuel ikla lebe Resh Galuta. He went to Resh Galuta's home. Afiko le rifta basaletia. Right? They brought him bread. He didn't wait for salt. He just took it and ate it. Amale adar mar mishmate. What's going on here? Amale letin sarich boshesh. Right? You don't have to wait. Today our breads have they have enough salt in it, you don't have to wait for anything. And there was the reason that they used to wait for salt, because the bread was not good, was not tasty. They needed salt to cook, dip their bread inside the salt for the bread to be edible. But today that the breads are edible, don't worry about the salt. Everything is fine, don't have to worry about it. And you see from this Gemara, the whole idea of the salt was because the bread did not have enough salt in it, wasn't edible, wasn't delicious enough. They had needed salt to come. According to this Gemara, we don't need salt anymore. If that's what it is, why do we have a salt? Well, then the Tosfot says that very interesting, he brings from Rabbi Menachem, the Tosfot. He says that you still have to bring salt at the table. What is the missing? It's so interesting. He says, "Kishe Israel yoshim al shulchan." So when you sit around the table, Jews, they come together, they all sit around the table, umamtinin ze et ze, ad sheitelu yedem. They sit around, they wait for each other to wash their hands. Ve'em below mitzvot. At that time that they sit there, wait for the other guy that is washing their hand to come back, they have no mitzvot to do. They just have to wait and say, look at each other. What happens? Asatan mekatreg alehem, and it could be at that time that they sit there doing nothing, the Satan could say bad thing about the Jews. They don't learn Torah, they don't do anything. Right? Could be mekatreg alehem. Uberit melach megina alehem. And the salt protects them. That's the reason that they have to have salt at the table. They won't think about it. Where do they come with these things? Where do they come up with these things? And this is the Tosfot says that. The Tosfot of Mem Amud Aleph. The Tosfot says that's the reason that you have to have salt at the table. Because the soul, that's why, by the way, because carry the soul for Ayin Hara. Because the soul does not keep the Kitrug away. That's what the thing is. According to this, that you have to bring salt at the table for this reason. But if you want to go based on the Gemara, there is no reason to have salt. Our breaths today, other than dipping the salt, become so salty, cannot eat it anymore. Right? But today, and there is another reason, and I'll take Kabbalah too, but if we don't go according to Kabbalah, just go according to Pshat, the reason the table needs to have salt is for that. You see, by Sephardim, we have a minhag that even when you finish your Seudah waiting for the Birkat HaMazon, you clean up the table, you still leave the salt and a piece of bread there. Why? Because the salt, as long as the salt is on the table, it keeps the Kitrug away. Keeps the Satan away. Because Satan, the Melach, salt, is protection neged Ayin Hara. Salt is a protection neged the Kitrug and the bad things that could come about. There's a lot of other things I could talk about. We don't have much time. But I want to talk about one more thing. And that's the Inyan of Minag of Yom Tov Shni. Why we have the second day Yom Tov today? This second day Yom Tov, the Gemara tells us the reason that you have to have second day Yom Tov, even though the Gemara Masechet Be'ah, the Gemara says, even though today we know exactly when the moon comes, and we know exactly when the Yom Tov is, the Gemara says, "My time Abdina Tere Yome." Why we are keeping 2 days? The Gemara says, "Zaru Be'vina Gavotechem Be'adechem." We have to, this is your minhag. Minhag avotechem, this is your forefathers, this is minhag, and we should do it. What we don't have this anymore. There is no minhag anymore. There's no, I mean, the reason for the minhag is cancelled out. Why are we keeping it anymore? And there's something interesting. The Gemara said, which is very interesting. It says she zimnin the gazra malchut gezera v'hatel kilkule. Because this could happen, it could be that one day it all go back to the original thing, and we don't have the calendar. We don't know what the Rosh Chodesh is. They have to keep them in now because it's possible that one day we won't know when the second Rosh, the Rosh Chodesh exactly it is. And we don't know when the Yom Tov is. Unbelievable. Chashash Rachok. Could be. One thing could be. Who knows when and who knows what. Because we don't know when that thing is going to happen, we have to do it. And therefore, from here, the Sefer HaPardes says, why do we say it second time? Kadosh, Kadosh, Uvah Letzion. He said, even though the reason they did it because the Sha'at HaGezer was a time that we couldn't say Kedushan Shimon Esre. They made a Kedushah Uvah Letzion that in order not to forget the Inyan of Kedushah. But today everything is fine. But he says, Chayshinan Shema Igrom Achert. It could be that it's going to come a time that the whole thing, the whole picture, the whole history repeats itself. And we go to Galut again, and we need to say, we cannot say the Kedushah. We have to say it again. Therefore, the minhag began, and they kept this minhag also going. You see that there's so many things that Chazal, every minhag, every small minhag that is out there is amazing. What is behind it? How much history is there? If I could give a class for all year on the minhag, each minhag, where every minhag come from, why there is a minhag like that, how would the minhag even started, why do we do this, why do we do that? If you read the Shulchan Aruch, you see that Mechaber, a lot of times, says Lechen Noagim. But it's more interesting that the Rema, when Rema writes, is Alachot for Ashkenazim, always, he said, a minhag kacha. V'chen noagim kacha. Everything is minhagim, 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 minhagim. This is what the Rebbe, the whole idea of the most 90% of the differences between Ashkenazim and Sephardim is minhagim. It's not the halacha. Halacha is only one halacha. You have Shulchan Aruch, you have Gemara, but it's one halacha. The difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim comes because of minhagim, and that's what it is. When I finish up with the story, the Shagat Aryeh. Shagat Aryeh was Adam, God, one of the Gedolei Ador of his generation. It used to be a time in olden days that people went, before they became a rav in a city, the kehilah asked him, what would you like to do? What is your, the things that you like to have in the shul? And then what are your minhagim that you want to follow in the shul? What are your chumrot that you want to do? Because the kehilah want to take care of the rav, and the shul should follow the minhagim of the rav. They sent him a letter, and they said, they asked him, please write down the minhagim that you like, that the shul follow for you. So Shagat Aryeh wrote, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Asedecha Veres Mitzrayim. So all Aseret HaDiberot he wrote, and he sent it back to them. They look at him and said, well, what's the matter to minhagim? He said, if I tell you, Halacha, Betura Minhag, everybody likes to keep the minhagim. But the halacha, not everybody pays attention. Is minhagim on Aseret HaDiberot. If you care about the halacha as much as you care about the minhag, you are in a good shape. And therefore, Shagat Aryeh said, do that. Just keep the halachot the way you're supposed to keep. Minhagim are behind the halachot, but the halachot are the most important that one has to pay attention. But without minhagim, we won't have halachot. The minhagim are so important, so vital to the existence of Klal Yisrael. Without the minhagim, we are nothing. The mesorah that we have is through the minhagim. That, and unfortunately, the reform and conservative, how did they start? One of the things they started with, they cut down the minhagim. Because once you cut down the minhagim, then you don't have the mesorah to the previous generation, and once you don't have a connection to the previous generation, there's no connection to the future generation either. Every generation works by itself, and eventually we are going to die out, and there's nothing of us is going to be left. You see that even Sefer Kuzari, that by shaking by tefillah, chuckling by tefillah, that only because chashash lachol, people they looked at the siddur like that, and the minhag established for dorei dorot, and it's still until today people do it. It's amazing. That shows that Klal Yisrael is a serious religion. It's not a made up things. Because nobody would go on for generations like that based on minhagim like this. It's impossible. It just shows us the koach ha-mesorah, the power of the mesorah of Klal Yisrael. Questions? Yes. What? I'm sorry? Nebeshtan? Nebeshtan mutara, much mutara. Shebeshtan much mutara. Yes. Al-Pi Kabbalah, salt is the negative of Ayin Hara. Don't you remember in Iran everybody has salt in their pockets?
That's where you spend the olives.
Yeah, but bichlal.
And you make the whole tikkun.
But they keep it in their pocket.
I know, that's from there.
In Iran there was that everybody had a little salt in their pocket because that was a negative of Ayin Hara.
The Moroccans, they do it, they
salt in the
olives. The olives is whole year at all. From the dining carry. Also,
it's
a pasuk. Right. That's
why. They said the shulchan is the name mizbeach. Right. But that is. But what about putting it there? The shulchan as we all the time. That's alpi kabbalah. To mizbeach, not alpi pashtut. That's what it says. Yes.
In a lot of minhagim is like a family minhagim. So my father used to do that.
I didn't get there. That was a minhag avot, a minhag amakom that I didn't get there.
So
that's all sure by itself. That how far do you have to go with the minhag avot? If your father did the minhag, the children should do the minhag. What about if you go to the city? What about the city has the minhag? That's another half an hour, 45 minutes.
But there was Shulam.
Huh?
Can you say Hashulam? Like,
no, it takes time. I have to explain the whole thing. So it's not one line thing. Yes. So
keep it or not?
Huh?
We should keep it.
Depends what it is. Yes.
Kabbalah Teshuvah, for example, people that we are not religious, that they can't believe just through a rabbi or whatever. And then they follow some kind of minhag, and they find out later on that their parents had a certain minhag that is different from the one that they are following currently. What's the status of that?
So Rabbi Zion,
you have a new minhag avot, or you continue with the new minhag that...
Rabbi Zion, Abba Shaul says that, that you should, if, let's say, a person that becomes frum, if he knows his parents or grandparents or great grandparents from Poland, then he should keep them in Hage Poland.
The one behind from Russia?
Poland or Russia or whatever it is. Or if you know Sephardim come from Morocco and becomes a frum, then he should keep Hage Morocco. Right? So that's what they have to do. And if they don't know where they come from, I don't know where they're true. They have to know where they come from.
That's not what I'm saying.
But they change, no. They later on and don't change.
Okay.
That's once you establish in one way, don't change.
To give you a specific example, Tisha B'Av,
I do
Tamizra, they Meniach Tfilin in the afternoon.
No, it's not that do Tamizra. Nothing to do with it. Ben Ishchai says you're in the afternoon also. Nothing to do with it.
But
folks,
the Moroccan, for example, they do it.
Right.
Somebody, for example, that became observant, and you know, does it in the morning, you know, should he change it or should he continue?
This particular thing you don't have to change. This you don't have to, because there are a lot of people say you should do it in the afternoon. Even Moroccans, they say you should do it now in the morning.
In Iran, you do it in the afternoon.
In Iran, also did it in the afternoon.
What?
A change.
The first day?
No, the Tisha B'Av.
Tisha B'Av. Yes.
What about the Indian when they start doing it? Like, they used to bring a tree into the base mattress for sure on Shavuos.
They're still doing it.
Huh?
They're still doing it.
Yes. How they stopped because, you know, Christians started.
No, they're still doing it. See, by Ashkenazim, Lemashal, they don't have chuppah in Bet Knesset.
No,
the Chatam Sofer made a minhag. The Ashkenazim, they should not get married in the shul. The reason was for that because the Reform did it. They wanted to separate the Orthodox from Reform, so they shouldn't do it. A lot of people don't do it. Ashkenazim. Sephardim is not a problem because we never like that. They always married in the synagogue and they continue doing it. But Ashkenazim, you see it. Until today, a lot of Hasidim don't get married in the synagogue because of this.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Well, if it's minhag, how come there's been such a rift between Ashkenazim and Sephardim for this long?
I gave a shura about this.
What was the question?
I mean,
they said, why there is a difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim?
In the
Minhagim. I gave a shura about this about 2-3 years ago, Moshe Shabbat.
Last year.
Why the Ashkenazim? You heard it?
So, my question to that is, why hasn't it come, at this time, why hasn't it come closer?
Because once established, the Sephardim said, you are not going to cancel Ashkenazim. Nobody's going to cancel them.
Different tribes have different things.
Now he says, today everybody lives together. The reason was separated. Because each one was different, living different.
Okay.
Tribes had different things.
I understand, but now, today everybody is together.
Well, not even when they were together in the Midbar, they had different.
No, but the reason there are different cultures with Ashkenazim and Sephardim, because the Ashkenazim lived in Europe,
right.
They felt they had to do that.
Right.
Sephardim lived wherever they lived, they felt that they had to do that. Now we are not there anymore. Nobody lives there. If Chachamim, they were worried about Yom Tov Sheni, maybe one day you're going to go back to this, are they keeping me Yom Tov Sheni? This for sure we have to worry about this.
But Yom Tov Sheni, I don't know if we can distinguish between a minhag and halakha,
talk
at
the
Yom Tov Sheni.
It's not a halakha, it's minhag.
Are you kidding me?
That's a Gemara, sir. Minhag avotechem beyadechem. Yes.
The punishment is less, you mean?
Huh? We are much more mekel on Yom Tov Sheni than Yom Tov Rishon. That's also, that's right. That, for instance, kitniot. The kitniot that the Ashkenazim don't have kitniot, rice or pesach, is a minhag, is a halacha.
Yeah, that's true.
You understand? But what's the reason? The reason that the kitniot was established, who knows, years and years ago, does not apply today. The whole thing does not apply today. They could cancel the minhag today. That's also another topic I could talk about. That why do that, the minhagim that they are not, the reason is not there anymore, cancel it out already.
How do you cancel the minhag?
You
can. You could.
You could, but you
depends. Depends. If the minhag was established because of a reason behind it, and the reason is not there anymore, it could cancel it.
Who has the
if there is a minhag that does not have a reason, then you cannot cancel it.
But who has the authority to?
The door, the generation has that reason, that koach.
But who?
Then let's say the Gadol Hador of the generation. Let's say Rav Avad Yosef would get up and say to the minhag, and the people did them, you don't have to worry about it. And they say, I'll tell you, at the time of Hakamat Medina, 1948, in Eretz Israel, food was very hard to get. Pesach, they didn't have enough food. Rav Herzeg, the Shon Lezion Chief Rabbi of Israel, it was native for Ashkenazim to have rice on Pesach.
It was quite nefesh.
I said that they have the authority to do it. If they say, because the reason is because the reason behind kitniot and rice on Pesach not apply anymore.
But you could not have changed a halakha, pure halakha.
It's not al-chas v'shalom. Halakha nobody can change. Even the minhag are not allowed to change. The Gemara says that you need rov minyan b'chokhma to change it. We don't have that. But if there is a minhag, that there is a reason behind it, and they said it specifically, we made this minhag because of this reason, and you know for a fact that reason does not exist anymore, like Kaddish, I said, the Kaddish, if the emet reason was only that, what I said, that because people didn't understand, today, nobody speaks Aramaic, the emet could change the Kaddish to Lashon HaKodesh. There's no reason behind it. There's no reason that we cannot do it.
The Reform probably did it.
I don't care what the Reform is not considered anything. But the Orthodox could have done it. If we wanted to, we could have done it. But we have another part of the thing. We have the Tosfot to deal with. That's why we couldn't. But if it would be only that reason, no question, we could have changed.
Okay.